going to talk about Jesus today. Before we do, though, I've got a really good picture to put up on the board. If you believe in the magic of science and technology. Every week in July, we go away for a basketball tournament with the Salvation Army, and that's what we'll be doing next, not next week, not the week coming, but the week after. So we'll miss the next two Sundays at church. I get the privilege of coaching kids on the left. You probably recognise a few of those numbskulls. Oh boy, they're hard work, but very rewarding. And on the right, I get time with some slightly older numbskulls. Great week, but a great week that results in souls won for the kingdom. Pauline would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for that basketball tournament. So before I start the sermon today, Lord, thank you for the Salvation Army tournament we go away to each week. Bless all those that are going. Make it not about sport, make it about God. In Jesus' name, amen. The next slide. I got asked this question recently. Who's this Jesus dude? I thought, oh, that's a good question. So Google it. Who's the Jesus dude? And Gandhi. Has anyone heard of Mahatma Gandhi? Yes. In 1926, he said Jesus was a good teacher. He said he was one of the great teachers of mankind. Oh, that's it. We can all go home now. Thank you. Have a nice week. Interesting, isn't it? Nick, my Adriana Exenity's helper, if we go to the next slide, is going to be my helper today, and we're all going to play Family Feud. I'll just give you a hand getting this out. There we go. So I want you to tell me, give me, when we survey 100 people, the top 10 answers are on the board. Who's Jesus? And you're not allowed to say God. Go, fire them off. Say again. No, I don't want anything to do with God. I want to know what the world would say Jesus is. So the first one would be teacher. So we'll put teacher up on the board. Chippy, yep. Carpenter, yep. Person, that's good. That's deep. That's good. Person. Any? Say again. Prophet. Yep. That's with a PH, not an F. That means something completely different. A prophet, yeah. A healer, yes. A wise man, that was good, yep. A Jewish rabbi, yep. A rebel, that's good. Interesting story about rebels. And I spent some time in South Africa with work, and very interesting to see the two sides of Nelson Mandela. Some said he was a hero that saved South Africa and turned it around. Others say he was a terrorist. Very interesting. So a rebel, a troublemaker. Any more? Just a man. Yep. That's not bad if we haven't got any more. No? I'll give you a couple others that I wrote down here that have been said to me. A legend or a myth? He's made up. Pretty much, I reckon, all the rest of them you got up there. Have we got a madman or a lunatic up there? Yeah. Because he said some crazy stuff. So if we go to the next slide, Geordie. Don't Google this stuff. It's just, wow, it messes with your head. Who is Jesus? So this is a couple of studies that were done of American adults. Remember America, land of the free, home of the brave, in God we trust, rah, rah, America. Everything's God. Right, UK, a little bit different, and practicing UK Christians. So who's Jesus? Was he a real person who actually lived? Yeah, US should be a little bit higher than the UK. UK Christians, 99% of UK Christians say he's a real person who actually lived. Now I want to know what the 0.5% who said Jesus is a mythical or fictional character, these are Christians, practicing Christians. And the 0.6 he said, I don't know. I want to know what they're drinking because I want some. How can a practicing Christian say Jesus was a mythical or fictional character? I want to hope that was a typo, they clicked the wrong button. The second part there, though, that is a prophet or spiritual leader but not God. 3% of practicing Christians in the UK say exactly that. Prophet.
Teacher.
Not God. Just starting to mess with you two a little bit. It's a bit strange. Jesus is a mythical figure. 1% of Christians in the UK believe he was made up. Only 88% say in human form and lived amongst people in the first century, as the Bible tells us. Normal human being, 3%. And again, we've got the don't knows there as well. I don't know about the world sometimes. I think the US might be a good place to go. They seem to have a little bit all together. But isn't it interesting? I wonder what would happen if we surveyed Australia, what we'd come up with. Yeah, it wouldn't be the American one. I dare say we'd be somewhere around the UK. A little bit scary. The next slide. Challenging question. Jesus has spent some time with his disciples. He'd be teaching them, and it came in time for him with a big question. Who do you think I am? What would your answer be if Jesus asked you, who do you think I am? And not what the world says, so you can't use those answers. Or maybe you would. Maybe you're one of the 0.5%. But who do you say Jesus is? We're going to go through the Bible. The easiest answer is if someone says, who's this Jesus dude? Well, the Bible tells me who the Jesus dude is because that's where I read about Jesus. So let's go. We'll go through a little adventure through what the Bible says Jesus is. Next slide, Geordie. While Jesus was on earth, people were horribly confused who he was. They're still confused about who he was. Some said, we've got wise man up there. Some said madman. Some said prophet. We've got that up there, healer. Some didn't care. Some couldn't work him out. What did Jesus say? Read up on the board. I and the Father are one. That's in the red letters. I love the red letters because you can't argue with the red letters. They're Jesus' words. I and the Father are one. He's claiming that he was God in human flesh. How did that go down? Well, not too well. A lot of people thought he was just a great teacher, but his enemies understood who he was. They wanted to kill him. So John 5:18, they wanted to kill him, not because he broke the Sabbath and he was healing on the Sabbath, but because he was making himself equal with God. John 10:33, we're not here to stone you because of any good works you've done, brother. We're here to get you because you, a mere man, are claiming to be God. In John 19:17, this is when the crucifixion was starting to come into play. The Jewish leader said, he's got to go. He claimed to be the Son of God. Now, I wanted you to look over on that whiteboard again and say, how would you be if you had a teacher at school that claimed to be the Son of God? I'd probably be changing schools. We might save on school fees, Pauline. It's probably a good thing. So we're going to put one up on the board. If the biblical claims of Jesus are true, and what says up there, I and the Father are one, he must be God. So I'm going to put God up there on the right-hand side. The Bible's version of events is Jesus is God. I want you to add after it, though. Doesn't actually, the Bible doesn't actually say Jesus is God. It says Jesus claimed to be God. But claimed to be. Next slide. God's holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, perfectly holy. So God cannot approve of or commit evil. James 1:13. So as God, we read that Jesus embodied every element of God's character. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So God is Jesus in bodily form. Next slide, Geordie. So God's perfectly holy, we read in Hebrews 4:15. Underlined there, we don't have a high priest who's empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Holy. His enemies couldn't prove accusations against him. In John 8:46, we read Jesus says to the religious leaders, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? You keep going on about it. Can any of you prove me guilty? The answer was no. And we read in 1 Peter 1:16, for it is written, be holy because I am holy, Jesus said. So we're going to add another one on the right, Nick. We're going to add holy. A little bit different to what the world says Jesus is. By the way, loving the shirt. The sermon today is brought to you by the New England Patriots. And we didn't even compare notes this morning. It's disturbing. Jesus is the Saviour. Next slide. Our failure to obey God and to be holy places us in danger of eternal punishment. As we read there in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his might. That's what you're going to get. That's the consequence of your sin. We cannot obey God. Whether we want to, we still can't. It's just not in us. It's not our desire to do so. We are rebellious towards God. And the Bible calls our rebellion sin. And according to Scripture, 1 Kings 8:46, there is no one who does not sin. So anyone here who wants to say, yeah, but I'm a good guy. No, you ain't. No one who does not sin. 2 Thessalonians, you're in trouble. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter how good you try to become. It doesn't matter how many good things you do. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spots? The answer is no. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We're evil. Bad news. Is what it is. Next slide. But it doesn't mean that you can't do good things. You might do charity work. You might help her out around the church. You might mow the lawns for your neighbours. If anyone wants to mow my lawns, that'd be appreciated. I hate doing that job. Pauline does it a fair bit. But even though you might do good things, we are utterly incapable of understanding, loving and pleasing God on our own. The Bible says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. No one, not even one, no one, no one. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one. There's that word again, no one who does good, not even one. Doesn't sound too good, does it? God's holiness and justice say sin is punished by death. In Ezekiel 18:4, the one who sins is the one who will die. Who's sinning? Get your hand up. Anyone sinning? Yeah? Right now? Doubly get your hand up for being cheeky. That doesn't make any sense. And this is where the world gets messed up, because they say, hang on, so I sin, I'm going to die. But there's sin and there's sin. So you're telling me that being jealous of my neighbour who's got a better car than me is the same as murdering somebody and sticking them in a barrel. Glad we got some nodding. It is. It's sin. It's sin. Bible says all acts of sin are the result of sinful thinking and evil desires, and your changing your behaviour will not fix it. You need to be changed inside so that your desires are holy. Who can save us from sin? Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. Again, those words, no one. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. So, next slide. So God's justice demands death for sin. His love provides a Saviour who pays the penalty and died for sinners. And we read in 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ, also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ's death demanded the requirements of God's justice, in that your sin is going to be death. Jesus committed that death for us. We read in Romans 3:26, God did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who faith in Jesus. Everyone should know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we go on to Titus 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Are we ready to add another one on the whiteboard, Nick? I think we're going to go for Saviour. How are we going with what the world says and what the Bible says so far? A little bit different. Next slide. This is the yucky one that messes people up. People will tell you that it does not matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. So as long as you're deep, as long as you're religious, but I'm a good guy and I really, really believe in being a good guy, or I believe in God, but this Jesus thing ain't quite right for me. So, and my God might be different to yours, but that's okay because I'm legit about it, man. No. If you take poison and you believe it's medicine, how's it going to work out? Not too well. In the same way, if Jesus is the only source of salvation, trusting in anybody else or anything else just ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. People assume there are many paths to God, and each religion has an aspect of truth in it, and a lot of them do. A lot of them do take bits of the Bible. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here it is again. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He didn't say, I'm the way now, but there'll be other ways later on. He said, I'm the only way to God. We might put the only way on the board. But I want you to note something again. It's only in red. When I say only in red, claim to be the only way. It doesn't actually say he's the only way. Jesus claimed to be the only way. Next slide. Lots of writing here. Hopefully that sits still for me. Who's this Jesus dude? Jesus is Lord. Okay. We're taught in schools. I was taught in my school and I laughed. We are the product of evolution. Yeah? Bible tells us we're created by a personal God to love, serve, and enjoy fellowship with God. Bible says that Jesus created the world. John 1:3, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We read further in Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All these words of all these words of no one, real absolute, aren't they? There's no room for moving. There's a point to that. There is no room for moving. Jesus created everything. So if Jesus created everything, he owns and rules everything, which is what we read in Psalms 103:19. Lord established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Next slide, Geordie. We read on in Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Getting on to this Jesus is Lord gig here. You need to confess that Jesus is Lord. Reading the next part about believing in your heart. It's not enough just to say, though, that Jesus is Lord. You need to actually believe it. And if you read on, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And in Romans 1:4, through the Spirit of holiness, God appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Just getting this repetitive thing of Jesus is Lord over and over again. Geordie. But true faith gets followed by true repentance. So if we acknowledge the fact that we've done wrong, we acknowledge the fact that we all sin, consequences of sin are death, we want to turn away from it. It's not enough just to be sorry. You need to agree with God that you're sinful and confess your sins. Turn from your sins, repent, and pursue holiness. We read in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord. He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You need to turn away. Now, if you turn away from your sins, what's going to happen? John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, if you're going to turn from your sins, you're going to keep my commands. This is the miraculous part. We follow Jesus, we change. John 18:31, again, this is Jesus' words in the red. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. It's not enough to know the bits on the right and that the bits on the left, whilst some of them might be mildly true, it's not enough just to know that Jesus is God. It's not enough to know he's our Saviour, he's holy. Because the demons know that, because Satan knows that. James 2:19, you believe there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe it and shudder. Even they get it. You need to do something about it. True saving faith results in obedience. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If Jesus is Lord, when you obey him, you agree, you submit to his authority. You're not going to always get it right. Anyone here always get it right? Yeah? You're fibbing. It's your goal. Don't withhold anything from him and declare in your heart that Jesus is Lord. So we're going to add Lord on the whiteboard. How are we going? Two totally different lists. Next one, the yucky one. Jesus is the judge. Now, if we've got sin, we all sin. It's consequences of sin of death. We've got some bad news. We're going to have to account for what we've done. All who reject Jesus as a Lord and Saviour one day are going to have to face him as their judge. So God says, Acts 17:30-31, Paul writes, now God commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn away from your sin. But God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, that man being Jesus. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. That man was Jesus. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 that the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. This is going to be a good day. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with, don't like this bit, the everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, if you're like me and you don't like it, you might want to do something about it and tell people, this is how it goes. It ain't the list on the left, it's the list on the right that is this Jesus dude. Everlasting destruction, shut out. I don't know about you, that gets me sometimes. I think, oh, so it's not all peaches and cream, it's not all good news. Be comforted by this, that Jesus judge is also the Jesus Saviour. Jesus judge who sits there and is going to do those things is also the guy who went to the cross for you and I while we were still sinners and said, Dad, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the same Jesus. That's good news. Add judge on the right. How do we look? That's a completely different list. God, Jesus is God, holy, Saviour, the only way, Lord and Judge. I don't know how many people in the world would say that he's all of those things. Certainly not the 0.5% of people in the UK who don't know what they're doing. They claim to be practicing Christians. Next slide. No, one before. The trilemma. Who's heard of the trilemma before? Anyone? No? Good. This is a really, really interesting one to put to people when they say, who was the Jesus dude? There's a Scottish Christian preacher, Rabbi John Duncan, back in 1859. Some of you might be alive there. I wasn't. Pauline, you're older than me. You might have been alive. But you colour your grey, so no one can tell. John Duncan said, number one, Christ either deceived mankind by conscious fraud, or two, he was himself deluded and self-deceived. Remember, he claimed to be God, claimed to be the only way. Or he was divine. No getting out of the trilemma, that's your choice. Good, isn't it? I haven't written this one up there, but there's a bloke called Watchman Nee was his name. He was a Chinese church leader. In 1936, he said something similar. He said, if Jesus claims to be God and he's not, he's a madman or a lunatic. If he's not God and he's not a lunatic, he's just a liar, deceiving others by his lie. And if he's not a lunatic and if he's not a liar, he's got to be God. Choice. You only get one of the three, and if you don't believe he's God, consider him a madman. And if you don't think he's God or a madman, take him for a liar. There's no need to prove to anybody who says, who's the Jesus dude, that he's Jesus of Nazareth, is God. You don't need to. All you actually got to do is prove whether he's a lunatic or a liar. And if he's neither of those, he is the Son of God. It's about claiming to be, maybe paint up that circumstance that Jesus was just nuts. Yeah? C.S. Lewis. Anyone heard of C.S. Lewis? The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Yep. He was the guy who came up with this idea and coined the term the trilemma. I'm going to read this bit. Forgive me reading it straight off the page here. He said, I'm trying here to, and this was in 1942. Again, I was not alive in 1942, although it was an excellent arcade game, Nick. Do you remember that? It was. Yes, thank you. I thought it was just me. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. They say, like our mate Gandhi, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim that he was God. It's the one thing you can't say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus did and said is not a great moral teacher, claimed to be God, the only way. He would be a lunatic on the level of the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he's the devil of hell. You got to make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or he was a madman or something a whole lot worse. And I've written up on the board here the famous quote, you can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can call him, fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but don't come up with any patronising nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He didn't leave that open to us. He didn't intend to. Now, it seems pretty obvious to me, this is C.S. Lewis speaking, he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I accept the view that he was and is God. That line of liar, lunatic, or Lord, that we have to choose which one Jesus was. Now, there's a fourth option. You've got to love the Americans. On the next slide, Geordie. American philosopher and Christian theologian. Never heard of this bloke, so we Googled him this week. William Lane Craig is his name. He says C.S. Lewis's argument is unsound because not all the premises are necessarily true. There is another alternative. Perhaps the Jesus in the Bible isn't the true Jesus of history, and the Jesus of the Bible is a legend, a myth, something made up. Got that at the bottom, didn't we? He wrote that in 1994. Through the passages of time and a DeLorean, we managed to go back to 1950. Back to the Future, and C.S. Lewis actually addressed that 44 years before this bloke William Lane Craig came up with his idea that he might be a legend. C.S. Lewis said, Jesus produced three main effects. He produced hatred, terror, and adoration. They were the three things that people fell into. There were no people who expressed mild approval of Jesus. Most of his followers were Jews. Jews belong to the nation of Israel, which of all others was most convinced there was only one God and that there couldn't possibly be another, the concept of the triune God, Jesus, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's very odd that this horrible invention about a religious leader that you call legend would grow up among the one people in the whole earth who are least likely to make such a mistake. Essentially what he's saying is, there's no way the Jews would invent a legend of Jesus. Because they don't want that. They just want God the Father. So, going to add a little section down the bottom there. Jesus is struck down. I'm glad Mike isn't here. Jesus is a liar. Or Jesus is a lunatic. A lunatic. Or Jesus is Lord. Or Jesus is a legend. Realistically, you've got to choose from the four. When you ask me, who's this Jesus dude? And admittedly, I did spend a couple of hours with that person who asked me that question. Said, pick from the four, my man. Pick from the list on the left, pick from the list on the right, but ultimately it comes down to that final four, liar, lunatic, Lord or legend. The next slide. But the final thing that Jesus is a choice. Doesn't tell you what to do. How cool is that? It's your choice. But when that word says choice, you can make a lot of choices in your life. There's one choice amongst everything that you do that will impact not only your life now, but your life after you die. Who here is going to die? Sadly, all of us, it's a fact of life. Life, death, taxes. 1st of July, taxes. But if you're going to die and you're not sure where you're going, Jesus is your choice. That counts for all of us. The most important choice you will ever make. What does the world say? And read those again. The world says Jesus was a teacher, carpenter, person, a prophet, a healer, a wise man, a Jewish rabbi, a rebel, lunatic, just a man, a legend or a myth. That's what the world says Jesus is. They can take their choice. That's all good. But the Bible says Jesus is God, holy, Savior, the only way, Lord and Judge. So Jesus asks in Matthew 16:15, we spoke earlier, who do you think I am? I'm not going to say that anybody should say at any time that Jesus is Lord. That's a choice. I will say the fun part in the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Ultimately, you're all going to say it, Jesus is Lord, whether you like it or not. Even the devil's going to say that bit. I just want to leave you with that one last thought. The idea of liar, lunatic, Lord and legend, and the fact that Jesus asks all of us, who do you think I am? Let's pray. Lord, such a simple question. We hear through our life the messages in Sunday school, if we're fortunate enough to go to church. We hear the messages of the world telling us. And in my case, too many people commenting on social media telling me, yeah, he was a good guy. Jesus was a good guy. No, he wasn't. He was a troublemaker. And he came to tell people that you need to be convicted of your sin and we need to turn from our sin. Is Jesus Lord? Is he a liar, lunatic, or legend? I've made my choice. Pray that everybody here would make the same choice. Thank you that you give us free will. But we pray for everybody out there who sees it differently. Pray for everybody who sees a different Jesus. There is no different Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Amen.